related this afternoon. I know that many of you are anxious to go home, and you've got a long ways to go. Especially grateful to our brethren at Peterborough, from Peterborough. I've lived in Peterborough for 23 years now, and some of them have heard me many, many times, and I guess it's a trial of faith to stay again and hear me once more. I was sitting there and I thought, I wonder if I would have stayed myself if I had to listen to myself. And the answer was, no, I'd probably got up and gone early. Reminded of a favorite story I like to tell about this young man that went to speak at a psychiatric hospital. And he hadn't spoken very much. And when he was speaking to the patients, one fellow stood up after about 10 minutes and he said, "You know, you're the worst preacher I've ever heard." And needless to say, he was devastated. And he didn't want to continue his message or to sit down, but he believed that with some composure and started to preach again. And he just went about 10 minutes, and another fellow stood up and said, "You know something? You're not only the worst preacher I ever heard," but he said, "That's the worst sermon I ever heard." And by this time, he thought that he was trying to quit, so he sat down kind of dejectedly, and one of the elderly was in the hospital came over to him and he said, "Now look," he said, "I wouldn't pay too much attention to what those two men said." He said, "As far as we're concerned, those of us who work in the hospital, we're really encouraged because those are the first sensible words they've said for a long time." I'd like you to turn your Bible to the 126th Psalm. My subject today is personal witness. We're reminded this week that Spurgeon used to say to his visiting preachers, "You've got 30 minutes to wake the dead, so get out of it." I know you're not dead, and I'm sure you're not sleeping, but let's get out of it, eh? Psalm 126, reading from verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was joyful with shouting. Then they sang among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. We will go forth weeping, carrying precious food. The Bible is coming again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him." Billy Sunday once said that personal evangelism or personal witness is a definite effort to lead a definite person to accept a definite Savior at a definite time. And today I would like to concentrate for a few minutes and our responsibility as personal witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no space given in the New Testament to our Lord dealing with persons or personal people or individuals than dealing with large numbers. Look at the story of John chapter 3. The verses that are given to the Lord Jesus talking to Nicodemus about a personal relationship to himself. Look at chapter 4 of John's Gospel. The length of verses of dream, the number of verses that are laid as stones, the tiny stones, as he talks to the woman at the well about a personal relationship with himself. Two of the most outstanding contacts, I suppose, the Lord had was Nicodemus and the woman at the well. And you and I have used those verses many times, telling the people about the relationship of Christ and ministering the gospel of our Lord Jesus to those who do not know the Savior, our blessed Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this: "If I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might under God, to be a soul winner. For never did I know perfect overflow and undergo happiness of the purest and most enabling till I first heard of one who sought and found the Savior through my means." I don't know about you guys, but I get a tremendous pleasure of seeing someone come to know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. The Lord said to Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. We read you that God has desired that every one of us would be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every born-again Christian is called to be a witness. In the book of Acts it says, they were everywhere preaching the gospel. They gossiped the gospel from house to house and from door to door. They gossiped the gospel in the marketplace. They were everywhere with this wonderful message of the wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And he talks about after the Spirit of God came upon them, and they would go into Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the uttermost part of the world. And beloved, the church today has lost that great desire to be personal witnesses. God wants us to be out there telling the world about this wonderful Savior, our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Andrew was a personal witness. He brought his own brother to Christ. He brought the lad to Christ with his food. And he approached the Lord Jesus and told him about the Greeks wanting to see him. He was a personal witness. Gideon and Spurgeon were both won to Christ by knowing a little of God. And yet both of them became great men of God. We will never know when we touch a life that we spread the gospel. We never know who God is going to raise up. As I heard one teacher say one time, that when a woman lost a baby, she never knows for what she might be lacking another D.R. Moody, or another Spurgeon, or another Billy Graham. We don't know who we're going to win to Christ when we're out there gossiping the gospel. The very person that we win might be a great soul winner and a great preacher of the gospel. It's then imperative that we be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the privilege of witnessing is this. Number one, the body of the soul. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The soul of an individual is more valuable than the whole world in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, if that would only grip our hearts, that Jesus put such value on a precious soul, that that person we work with, that person we ride with, that person that we walk down the street with, as a precious soul that is dying and going to hell, a soul that is going to live forever in eternity, but a soul that needs to be rich. The man who knew Jesus Christ was a great soul winner. He had a tremendous compassion and a tremendous passion. He would pray and weep for soul. The man that I came to Christ is a little country gospel chapter. And this man stood behind the pulpit, and the tears rolled down his cheeks as he shared the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've often thought that it was those tears that melted my heart that brought me to the Savior. And when he talks about people, he always said, "People." He always said, "I was talking to a dear soul here today. I was talking to a dear soul yesterday." He always was talking to people, but he always thought of his souls that were lost and needing Christ. The second reason is the reality of hell. Lost eternity, brimstone, blackness, anguish, a man without Christ for all eternity. Well, if there's anything that should reach us and speak to us, is the desire to save them from going to hell. I remember many years ago reading a story about a man who came from down in one of the southern states. He was burning out. He had been such a tremendous preacher and soul, and his people said to him, "You've got to go to the prison. You've got to go out and have a rest." And he came to Niagara Falls. He's standing there, looking down into that huge bench, and watching it plunge the water as it came over the falls and plunged into the gorge. And he says, you know, that suddenly the water turned to gold, and the gorge turned to hell. And I saw the gold man plunging into a crisis of eternity. And when I saw that, he said, I couldn't stay. I had to go back and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of hell, oh, that it would grip our hearts and our souls. Thirdly, the sufferings of Christ. How that he came into this world, bore our sin, suffered, bled, and died. Oh, beloved, that should drive us to win souls to Christ. That should drive us out to think that Christ loved us so much and loved the world so much. The reality of the sufferings of Christ. First, the hopelessness in this world for our friends and loved ones. We are trying to find happiness in a world that can only be found in Christ. All the hopelessness. You remember before you were saved. I have five brothers that used to drink, and my father used to drink. My mother was a Christian, spiritual, a minister preaching in the United Church. And he had a tremendous burden to serve. He was American hands on the mission field from the Alliance Church, and he took up this calling, this charge, way back on the other side of Bancroft. This man used to preach the gospel in that United Church, and my mother was touched by the grace of God. And one day, my mother called up on the early country telephone. You know what they're like. When you call somebody, everybody listens. I had a friend that used to call on the phone, and when he took down the receiver, he always said, "Hello, everybody!" They always were there listening. My mother called and said, "If you come and see me, I'm in trouble." And he drove with a horse and buggy over 5 miles. And he led my mother to Christ. She taught the gospel. I owe my salvation to my mother and the teaching of the Word of God. But dear friends, when God favors, you don't know what he's concerned about? My own brothers and sisters. My own family. The hopelessness of those in our families without Christ, and they need to hear the gospel. How are they going to hear it? They're going to hear it as a witness and tell them about the Savior. Fifthly, the eternal glories of Christ in heaven and eternity. All of these things should drive us with a compassion to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to think for a few moments about the preparation for personal witness or personal evangelism. Number one, the absolute assurance of your own salvation. You know, you never try to win people to Christ if you don't have an assurance in your heart that you really saved yourself. Number three, a life that is separated from sin. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as someone has said, self-salvation says, don't let the world press you into its mold. Because things, it's only pressed into the world's mold that we lose our concern and our burden for our soul. Now I tell you to lose it. No question about it. There have been times when I got alone with God and prayed and cried and said to God, "Oh God, give me back a burden for souls." Lord, I've lost it. I don't have a desire to see them when they come to Christ. Oh, give me a burden for men and women that are going to hell. And friends, we need to think to that effect. That God will give us a burden. And that burden comes when our life is separated from the world's mold and separated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, is a life that will be filled with love and clothed with the love of God in our soul. Now, one of my favorite verses is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Preach the word with love. Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, how I pray, friends. God has given those two things. a garment to serve the Lord, and a love to reach out to lower women, to God's people, to love those people that men in the name of Jesus. You know, it's amazing how loving we can be as Christians for one another. We need to have that love. We need to preach the word of God. We need to have a joy in our souls and serve the Lord with gladness. It needs to be contagious so that those out there say, hey, that guy is happy. That man really has a joy. I'd like to know that person and what makes them so happy and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, a knowledge of God's will and an respect for the authority of God's will. Brother Joel was showing that there was a Joel that said, you need to let God speak to his own word. And as we quote the word of God, the word of God, beloved friends, is used by the Spirit of God. And you can remember to what you say, and as you go to bed at night, and the word of God would speak to your heart, our responsibility is to say the word. Say the word of God. And the Father said that. We need to say the word. We need to pray. And we need to depend on God. God to work for us by the Spirit of God. God to control us. And God to lead us out to know women who know not the Savior, know not the Lord Jesus. I'm going to give you an experience in my own life, and God tremendously burdened me about some person. And I've gone to that person and talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God would do that. It was very mature. And the Spirit of God came to lead us to a hungry man and woman. And God wants us to be there to witness, to tell them about this wonderful grace that God gives. And then we need to have that passion for the Lord. That genuine earnestness to see those people come to the Savior. To see them come brokenly before God. I remember this some time ago, I was talking to a man who did not know the Savior. He was hunting with us in our hunting camp for 2 years, and I talked to him 2 different times. And one night when I was in a bunk, and he was in the top bunk, and I was in the lower bunk, and I said to him, have you ever thought of trusting the Lord Jesus, your Savior? He said, yes. He said, I have done. He said, matter of fact, not long ago, someone asked me about the real born again Christian. And he said, I had to know. And I said to him, you know, you could accept the Lord right here. Where you are, I'll pray to you. I'm down here. I'll pray. And you pray. And he said, no, I said, I don't think I'm quite ready. I said, all right. I said, let's leave it then. And let us start. I'll pray for you. So in January, he shows up at the meeting on Sunday morning. But this time, and I said to myself, aha, God is speaking. The word of God is doing its work. And the next time you allow me to turn on his gun. So I said to him when he was going out to go to the chapel, I said, Tommy, can I come and visit you? He said, we'd be delighted to have you come. I said, all right, when will you come? He said, well, come down and finish on Tuesday night. So I went down with the scripture, the Bible, and I went through the plan of salvation with him. I mean, no friends, he was ready to be saved. He was right, but she wasn't ready. And I said to myself, there's no need to have leading him any farther. We'll wait till she's ready. And I said to her, Ben, wouldn't you like to trust the Savior? No, she said, I'm not ready yet. And if I'm thinking no, I'm not ready. I said, okay. How about we coming back next week? Fine. What day? Tuesday. Alright, and I go to the devil's wife said, but don't forget, he said, you can't, I don't. Anyway, I'll be there. Here's the man before the army said, my wife has to go today. Would you come tomorrow for lunch? Sure, I'd be glad to come for lunch. And so at noon, I was there. I had the Bible on the case. I was sitting down in front of the chair. After he did, he opened up the word of God. And he said, guys, you're both ready. We were both going to trust the Lord. And I said, give the Lord the house, God. You trust the Lord first. You accepted the Lord, and then she accepted the Lord. Then we threw the scriptures together, gave me the church of salvation. And then it was such a joy. But that's not the whole story. There's honor was about 16 or 17 years of age. And she comes in a prayer meeting of all meetings. She showed up at the prayer meeting one night. And I said to myself, God is working. And so, the next week, she came to prayer meeting again. The afternoon, I said, Darren, well, I said, are you concerned about knowing the Lord? She said, yes, I am. She said, oh, the change in my dad. She said, you should feel the difference. I said, I know. I know. The men coming to see us, you know? How does that? I can never think about God. You know, he's been the biggest changing lives, isn't it? And so I said to her, wouldn't you like to talk to Mary tonight? Oh, no, 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 I don't think you know that. I don't think so. This time we're outside the chapel. I said, Betty, would you let me show you some scripture? She stepped by for me 4 years ago. Oh, that'll be all right. So I took it through the plan of salvation. I knew God had already planned it. There's no question in my mind that you're going to trust the Lord. And I said, Debbie, you would like to trust the Lord, wouldn't you? She didn't have one. I said, read that. Bow your head. Tell God that you're sinner. Ask Jesus to move your heart. And right there, she opened her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, that's not all we're saying. I went to visit the other day, and my husband said to me, well, you can go and talk to my brother-in-law. He was hanging with us in my own cap here. He said, you can come. So I got in the car one day, and I drove about 25 miles to the brother-in-law's place, and he trusted the Lord. And I remember started going up, and he said, you know something? You can go and talk to my mother. So I went to talk to his mother trusted the Lord. Ah, beloved friends, can you tell me if everything that gives greater joy than seeing a soul rescued from hell, from their last condition, without Christ and without hope, God give us a passion for souls. Follow the pattern of witness. Notice many from the scripture we read. He would go forth, raise the commission. Do not wait for the sinner to come to you, that may happen. I was telling someone the other day, I thought we knew he was a little place outside of Sterling. A fellow called me one night, he said, would you come and have some gas for me? So I went there, and when I got there, he said, you know, I tried to get an oath, so he said, he didn't come. And he said, I thought maybe you would come. Well, I thought it was nice to know you were second on the list. So I said, well, that's all right. I said, I'm glad to be here. So I reached past the meetings, and by praising him out, nothing ever happened. Not a thing. Every afternoon I went to that chapel, I shut the door, locked the stuff in, I got on my knees, and we never went over and pleaded God, as like I pleaded God, that something would happen in those days. I really wept before God. And you know, that night, the Lord started to work. I was asked to go out and talk to a lady that had not been at the meetings yet. She'd attended some other gospel meetings. I went to the door and I said, I'm Doug Robinson. I'm having meetings over at Springbrook. Oh, come on in. I want to talk to you. You know something? Within 10 minutes, I led her to Christ. You know that there's 14 coming to Christ in 2 weeks in that little country meeting? I tell you, friends, God is in the soul saving business. But he said, go. Go. He said, go. There you have the commission to go. The building, weeping, is a very joy that asked us last night. Have you ever wept this day? And what did he have? I remember when I was so saved, I would get beside my bed at night, and I'd say, I would sob. Just sob to God, to each of my brothers and sisters, my father. My dad didn't come to Christ till he was 68 years of age. I just cried to God, oh God. Well, I don't know what to tell you today, friends. I wept. I wept. The Lord sends that. He would go for weeping. How brilliant. Are you not at the last? How brilliant. And I have been witnessing to those about Christ. And then there is sowing precious seed. Sharing the precious word of God. May same subject in one of his articles. He said, you know, you find things in the Bible I could not understand or reason, right? But he said, when I came to the place where I accepted the Bible by faith as the word of the living God, he said, that book became my sword in my hand and through my mouth. What is Billy Graham's favorite expression when he's preaching? The Bible stands. The Bible stands. Men are not saved by rhetoric. They're not saved by logic. They're not saved by argument. Men are saved because God speaks to them through the precious word of God. And when we share that word with men and women, the Spirit of God takes that word and begins to work, and day and night, there's a still small voice that keeps saying, you need Christ. He died for you. And you trust him. And he gives you salvation. And he gives you eternal life. Now the result of saying the word. Shall darkness come and go on the burning shoe? You see, God has promised results for him. When in his soul we're going to weep. And he said the word in love. And talk to people in love. And show Christ in love. The word says that we're going to come with shoes. Men and women will be saved by his marvelous grace. And the joy of faith and living shall come again rejoicing. We shall see the travail of his soul we read of Christ and be satisfied for him. Christ rejoices. We have heard a powerful sermon this week on John chapter, or Luke chapter 15. The preacher even went to so far to say that he's speaking on carnality. And he went so far to say that if you have no burden for souls, you're carnal. And did he ever handle him? Well, he convinced me I was carnal. But you know what he said? He said, look at the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, and in every instance, look at what? Rejoicing. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over a soul that is lost. Jesus said that. And he set heaven on fire in rejoicing that he shared the gospel and a soul is saved by the grace of God. Remember quickly the procedure of witness. Number one, pray to God for those opportunities and seize those opportunities. Number two, by the way, if you want a copy of these notes, I'll mail them to you after. Number two, listening and conversation. All kinds of openings today. Your condition. Paul says, I have more opportunity to witness over earthquakes and famines and pestilence. The things that Jesus talked about. Say to people, you know that the Bible says that. Is there that these things that happen? And you've got them already. A hitch. You're only telling them about Christ. And you just share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, when you get into conversation about the soul, present Christ and Christ himself. People like to talk to you about all the other things, like David King and his wife. I don't know how many times I've been asked that. They like to drop the subject. And I always say to them, really, I'm not too concerned right now about what King does. Like, what I'm concerned about is whether you'll be in heaven or not. And we're back on the conversation again. Friends, they're not in sidetrack. What's the subject? Christ is the answer. Christ is the way. Number four, deal with your own self if possible. I have led many women to Christ, but deal with your own self if possible. Sometimes it's impossible. Number five, don't argue. Take your conviction. Tell what Christ did for you. What Christ means to you. Tell them about how you came to know the Lord. I use my own testimony over and over again. I often say to people, I go to talk and they say, well, I go to the United Church. I'm not interested. You know, my mother and I used to go to the United Church, and we can go with that. the Lord brought my mother to a saving knowledge of Christ in my church. Would you believe it that the minister believed the same thing that I believe? And he told my mother I'd come to Christ, and I, through my mother, I'd come to know the Lord? What an opportunity to show the Lord. Talk to the person alone. Don't talk to this crowd. If you're out in a group, you know, you get all kinds of problems. One person by himself, they're a different person. Stick to your subject. No one is said enough. And I think this is one of the biggest problems with witnessing. A lot of people don't know when they've said enough. I believe that it's very, very important to leave the door open when you talk to someone about Christ. And I know people like close the door. They stay at it, they get right up, they just hammer it, they offend the person, they close the door. And when someone says to me, I don't feel going ready, I say this. Well, let's just leave it for tonight or today, whatever they do. And I'll come back and talk to you again someday. Would that be all right? Just last week, I did that. I talked to the wife, and the wife was concerned. And the husband, he didn't seem to have a concern. And I was given an opportunity to come to Christ, and I'm talking to someone. I said, wouldn't it like to just bow your head now and ask the Lord Jesus, come into your heart and life, be your Savior? And ask the people say, yes, I do. Most people say, no, I don't feel so ready. This woman says, well, I don't feel so I'm quite ready yet. And he said, I'm not ready. I said, Paul, let's not discuss it anymore. You know, I'll go back and talk to you later. What do I mean? When I was reading the Bible, he said, you'll come back someday. He said, I'll be back. I said, I'll be back. Well, I'll be there. But there's a lot of women concerned about Christ by the day. What a joy to share the gospel. No one is said enough. It's a time to speak. It's a time to keep quiet. Say what God wants you to say and leave it. And let the Spirit of God work that out. Peter said, well, what if Christ comes in the meantime? My friend, do you think that soul that is concerned is not going to be saved? God is still in charge and control of everything. Now don't worry about that. My responsibility is to witness the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be impatient. Will any allow it for you to come to the Lord? Don't make Christianity sound as though it has no power. Well, that's one thing that TV evangelism today. You just trust Jesus. And nothing's going to happen. It'll be bad anymore. Matter of fact, God doesn't want you to be poor even. He wants you to be rich and wealthy and healthy. Well, that isn't what the Lord said, is it? Don't leave the impression that you're superior to people. You're still just a sinner, say by grace. If there's any sign of anxiety, give him an opportunity to trust the Lord. Gracious. How many verses would you use to lead a person to Christ? I'm going to use five. So I'll read it. Romans 6:23, all of sin can show the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You die in your sin, you're separated from God's presence. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. God has given a gift, the gift of eternal life, and it's found through Jesus Christ. And John 1:12 says, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. And Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and knocking right now, and if you open the door of your life, you'll be saved. Revelation 3:20. And the Bible says that he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things are written on you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. Which verses? I give you that. Okay? Alright. It's very important to go over these verses after you have done some of the Christ. I emphasize this in our own chapel to the young women. I tell them, use the verses more after they come to Christ than before. I will tell their 5 steps. Revelation 3:20, just a little while ago, Christ is now going to the bed of your life. He is marching to you. I was trying to share the gospel. What did you do? I received them. What do you do now? He's in front of me. Who says that? Turn the Bible on. Jesus says that. John 1 and 12, did you receive Christ? Yes. Now what is God saying? He says I'm a child of death. Who says that? God says that. See, I don't want them to think I say it. I want them to see that God says it. Then I go to John 5 and 24. You can hear how good, you hear his word of honor, yes. Do you know how God raised him from the dead? Yes. What is God saying? As everlasting life.
Who says that?
God says it. Friends, when I leave that sinner 35 days, I want him to know what God says. When I leave and three times and six and you're not safe, they say, well, you don't say a Doug Robinson federal, they say God says a lot. That's what God says. Keep in touch with that person who's your spiritual child. Nurture them. Get them into Bible study or get someone else to do it for you. And lastly, if your first attempt fails to win a soul to Christ, don't get discouraged. People say to me that God has given you the gift of personal evangelism. Friends, I want to tell you, I never led a soul to Christ until 4 years after I was saved. You know something else? There's been times when I've gone out to see people and I turned around like a big coward, ran home and fell on my knees and cried to God and said, Lord, I've got the courage to go. I still have that panic. It's not easy. It's not easy to knock on doors. You know, this time we wrote an article in the letters of Numbers a number of years ago. Where are all the evangelists? I keep asking myself, but all the Bible schools is that. Why is it so few of the young men and women have a burden to serve? That's really hard. If you're a teacher, I'm not downgrading teaching. If you're a teacher, you work primarily with Christians. If you're an evangelist, you like there who is hard pressed. You like there knocking on doors. You're on Satan's territory. You're in a warfare. Christ is there with you, but Satan is there to touch him in the feet. Beloved, serving is not easy then. But do you know what Paul said to the Philippians? What is my joy? My crown of rejoicing? I'll not even leave in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I have a crown up there someday. Shall we get down there? Father, take the feeble words of a feeble preacher and bless them to the hearts of those who are here. God, oh God, give us burdens. Individual burdens for souls. To be a witness. To win men and women to the Savior. We ask it in Christ's name.
I see no one to find all the prize that I believe. I have to hold the glory for the smile that shall be. I'm sorry.
Thank you.